Welcome back to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast. This is episode 8, and this is Brad. Right now, we are about to pick up with Greg, as we have a special guest joining us. Greg and I will be interviewing Dr. Matt Clay, who is a well-known chiropractor here in the Washington, D.C. area, and he is with us to talk about golf performance. Let's go ahead and pick right up with Greg as we are talking with Dr. Clay.
Welcome back to the Fairway Fit Podcast. We got Greg here. We also have Brad, and I'd like to bring on a very special guest. We have Dr. Matt Clay here. Matt Clay, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. You look wonderful. I'm glad to have you. I'm glad we could finally do this. Real quick, just introduce yourself and share with our listeners what it means to be a golf performance chiropractor.
Yeah. So my name is Matt. As Greg said, we went to high school together. I have a practice, dynamic integration sports medicine, that I started about 6 years ago. Been practicing for almost 13 years, and I started my golf performance business, Clay Golf Performance, about 3 years ago.
Nice, nice. With your extensive involvement in golf, how long have you been playing, and what's your current handicap?
I started playing golf when I was in seventh grade. I had a little bit of a break, stopped playing in college, stopped playing in grad school, and I'm 40 now, so I have no idea what that adds up to in golf years.
So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We're just starting now.
Hey, whatever, man. It's as long as you're out there having fun, that's all that matters.
Pretty sure 40 years old is like your prime start of your golf career. I don't think that's near the end. It's like you got 30, 40 solid years left.
I feel like my mental game's better. My physical game's starting to decline a little bit, but I'm trying my best to keep up.
That's why we have you here. We're going to learn how to get that physical part.
Sure, sure.
So, okay, great transition there. So fitness and golf, the importance of fitness and golf. What aspect of fitness do you feel is most crucial or critical for golfers?
Yeah, so we work with a couple of different subsets. We have juniors, and then we have some college, some semi-pro guys. And so I feel like with each category there, it's a little bit different, right? Like the college guys and the semi-pro guys, we're just trying to get them a percentage better. And really it's just trying to improve maybe some power, some speed. With our junior guys, it's really just developing certain movement qualities because a lot of them just play golf. So When we're introducing certain exercises with them, there's a little bit of a struggle with them picking up the coordination, if you will, on how to perform the exercise correctly and in a safe way. And with our seniors, it's really just trying to improve mobility, maybe a little flexibility, also fill in the gaps if there's been histories of injuries. So a lot of it is with them, it's taking a good history and figuring out what injuries they've suffered with or currently dealing with, and how can we help prevent those from getting worse, and how can we improve the game from there as well.
So when you say juniors, what age group are you talking about that?
So the youngest juniors I would work with are around 12 and 13, and then obviously all the way up to high school golfers.
Okay. So I've always read with juniors and young guys, because my three play quite a bit of golf, and we play right next door here out in Round Hill. And obviously being an athlete in all sports and everything you do is obviously helps out tremendously. Guys who play basketball move better on the baseball diamond, play better football, and obviously probably correlates a lot into golf, but I'm shocked to hear that you have a lot of golf specific athletes already at 12 years old. I would feel you'd want to push them to play other sports, learn that piece as well, that's going to make you a tremendous ball striker and everything. Just your hand eye coordination, if you pick it up different ways, playing baseball, playing tennis, playing different sports from there.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think nowadays though, you're finding that specializations like ruling the roost, and kids are just sticking with one sport for a long period of time. That's why you're also seeing, or at least we do with our profession, a lot of athletic injuries starting at an early age, where not that I was like the best athlete in high school. I did play like several sports, but I was never really injured or had anything substantial where it required like a surgery. We're seeing girls, like the number of ACL injuries are like at a crazy all-time high. Any athlete, especially like male athletes doing like an overhead sport, baseball in particular, shoulder injuries, Tommy John injuries are like crazy. So I think specialization is something that's just on the rise, but I would totally agree that having your kid play a multitude of different sports would just only enhance their ability down the road.
Yeah, you hear all these college coaches pushing the multi-sport athlete, but I see it too. I have my 11-year-old and 2 9-year-olds, and it almost feels if you're not specializing now, you're getting passed up, which I do like with golf. We don't really sign up or do any leagues yet. I just tell my 9-year-old, my little guy, swing as hard as you can. We'll worry about mechanics later on.
Yeah.
Just try to see how far you can hit the ball. We move from there. So we do try to work on some straight stuff.
You never give me that tip when we're playing. Come on now.
He's 9. He doesn't need a cortisone shot in his knee every 6 months.
Not my knee. My shoulder.
The shoulder.
Like every 9 months. Shout out Dr. Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had one see Dr. Mook today. Definitely keeping it close to us. But yeah, you developed this fitness program, this performance training program a couple years ago. You were in it, you had more of your chiropractic practice. But what are some of the foundations you look like when Fairway Fit, we talk about our foundations of fitness. We talk a lot about mobility, endurance, strength, and flexibility. Our goal is to help golfers play better on golf trips. And I know you talked about as a peak performance for yourself, but we're older. We're in those 40s. We're fairly, I like to still think we're fairly athletic, Greg. We still try to, I train hard.
I consider myself an athlete.
Yeah. And we do admit that we now train to play better golf and to make sure our kids never beat us in any sort of competition. What are a couple exercises when you talk about your older athletes that come in there? Not just categorize as flexibility. What are some specific stretches that you do that we could do? I know flexibility is something. I played baseball my whole life, played at some pretty high levels. When it came to stretching, I was more into throwing.
Yeah.
I wanted to start playing, crack my knuckles, rotate my shoulders a little bit, and I was ready to go. But what are some things pre-round that we can definitely hit on to help us out?
Man, I was thinking about that question. Obviously, like the other day and earlier today, but I think everybody's a little bit different because some people just have different, at least what we describe as like prerequisites, right? In the golf swing, the hip and the pelvis have to have a certain amount of rotation. The thoracic spine, the shoulders have to have a certain amount of rotation. And everybody has just different levels of that. Some people have more in one region than the other. I would say globally, if we're talking about our older golfers. Again, I don't come up with these exercise names. I just cherry pick off of people that have done it before me. Actually, one of the guys that worked with Greg Rose, the founder of TPI, has two stretches. One's like the original version, one's the 2.0 version. And those are both called the Bretzel stretch. You can YouTube it. There's a couple of videos on there. I feel terrible. I can't remember like the guy's name that came up with the stretch. But he's one of the guys that worked with Greg in developing like the FMS, SFMA. And then obviously Greg branched off and did TPI, but he took a lot of those disciplines over to the TPI screenings. And the original stretch, the Bretzel stretch and the Bretzel 2.0 are probably a stretch that we give a lot. I wouldn't say it's like the best stretch for everybody, but generally speaking, it's a pretty good one because it does involve a lot of rotation, gets the hips nice and loose, and same thing with like thoracic rotation, which usually people are pretty limited in.
Yeah, definitely have to check that one out. Sounds like it's a little bit more detailed than bending over and touching your toes.
A little bit, yeah, slightly.
That's where I get going and a couple rotations and here to go. I have to definitely try to work on it. You do need to talk to Greg a little bit more about getting to the golf course a little bit earlier. Greg is known to pull out of his car, throw the clubs on the cart, and roll, where I've been up there 20, 30 minutes beforehand and getting loose. But that is something Greg's promised to work on over this year.
I mean, just I got young ones. It happens every once in a while, literally. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, last time we played golf, I was literally covered in baby poop before I, like 15, 20 minutes before I left the house.
I mean, keep it spicy, man.
Dr. Clay probably knows what you're talking about. He's got that young one there too. So
yeah, I haven't shown up to the course covered in fecal matter, but teach their own, Greg. Teach their own.
It's a new one. You just got to say I took a really deep divot and just got splattered or something. Maybe I took a water ball out. Transitioning there, you were talking a bunch about TPI. Yeah, not baby poop. We won't strand too long on baby poop, but you were talking about TPI and everything like that. Have you ever thought about going and being TPI certified?
So I've done all three levels for the medical side. I think like after you take the course, you're like certified on the website for a year and then they make you pay.
Yep.
I don't know. I didn't really feel like needing my name on there to, at least for like local recognition. I do it through networking with like local professionals and just guys that like to play. But yeah, I've taken like the medical level 3 and the power one. I think I'm at like level 2 or something like that.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty sure. Didn't he start out as a chiropractor not too far from here, the Baltimore area? Isn't that kind of how where TPI,
where Greg was originally started at?
I want to say I listened to a podcast before that talked to him. He's not that far from where we are. And then obviously was able to catch on.
Yeah.
I don't know. A couple people that sent him to California.
I don't know his whole backstory was, or I guess is a chiropractor. And then, yeah, now he just specifies in like golf and the whole like biomechanical research that goes behind it. Yeah. But I don't know where he got his start from or where he is from originally.
Yeah, for some reason, I want to say I heard he was local to us outside of Baltimore, Maryland type area, but I don't 100% remember either. I know for me personally, I know I've looked at it at TPI, but I'm with you. It's a lot of money. I know a lot of people do it on the swing side to get the discounts on clubs, but they've changed the discount. So they said it's not as appealing anymore.
Yeah.
So
I don't play Titleist anyway, so it didn't really matter to me.
We can't talk.
Shots fired. Brad.
Yeah. Podcast over. Closing the screen right now. We're done.
Oh, wow. Rob, we got some elites over here.
I'm just joking. I do play Titleist. I can't say I would go anywhere different, but I definitely
For now.
I'm open to other things. But
you literally had Mizuno clubs in your bag 7 months ago.
Wow. You dropped Mizuno for Titleist
before that. I did. I went ahead and got a whole bag, not a whole bag, but just my irons refitted. And you know, you get a little older, the wife lets you buy a little bit nicer stuff.
And you got new wedges too.
Oh, I didn't tell you. I did put the Titleist back in the bag. I got rid of the Clevelands and put the Titleist back in the bag. Even my older wedges, I got rid of newer Clevelands.
There you go.
They just feel so much better.
If you want to, then I'll give them more up. Hey, just whatever. I know you got like 72, 3 hybrids and 3 woods in your garage too. I'll just go in there and take a grab bag out of it.
It's not quite that many. It's actually a lot less now. I've had to pay off for my Titleist. I've had to sell a lot of stuff.
Gotcha.
On eBay. So I'm trying to, still working on it. Actually, the Mizunos are still sitting right next to me right here in the office. So no one's put a bid on those, But Greg, if you're interested, I can make that happen.
All right. Back to the special guest here, Brad. Let's talk about your old clubs.
Go ahead and leave comments below. If you're interested in my irons, they're still on eBay. Shoot me a comment below. And if they're still available, we can have a conversation.
I don't think anybody's going to be interested in my old clubs. How about this? For any golfer expecting to improve in golf, whether it be like not just going to the range and hitting balls or whatnot, what kind of exercises should they be doing that would like actually help them in the golf realm? Everybody understands that a squat and a deadlift and running and everything like that will make them better fit. But what kind of exercises do you think, without giving a whole workout routine or whatnot, but what kind of exercises do you prescribe people to do on a regular basis to help improve their golf game?
So one of the things that we work on is first and foremost is like how they use the ground. So if you look at a lot of amateur golfers, when they're using the ground, typically it's a lot later in the swing than maybe, and again, like professionals are in their own category, but when you see like how they're using the ground when they're pushing into the ground. It happens way sooner than, say, what an amateur golfer or somebody just starting off would use. So we try to get them comfortable with doing a lot of drills that get them comfortable with using their feet, when to push into the ground, when to rotate and push into the ground all at the same time. And typically we start with like light swings to get them comfortable with that. There's a guy in Texas who's like a lead kinesiologist. His name's, I think his thing on Instagram is like Dr. Kwan, but he has a lot of drills that you're not really doing anything from like a performance standpoint or like a swing standpoint. He's just really helping you understand like how to use the ground, how to use your feet in relation to the ground. And so once our golfers have a good understanding of that, it's really just ramping up the speed. Nothing fancy. You can like hex bar deadlift all you want, and you can squat all you want or kettlebell swing all you want, but really it's how well you can like transition in the golf swing and how efficiently you can do that. We don't do anything fancy there. We'll use like some of the swing speed trainers out there, but a lot of evidence is suggesting like some of that stuff is like good, but a lot of it's more just like propaganda to get you to buy into the products. So we'll use devices that might be a little bit lighter, so people have a little bit more control of the club than trying to swing something maybe a little bit heavier than what they're used to. So that's what we do in a way to help improve performance. So for example, like our junior golfers, we have one kid, we're not one kid, but probably like 10 kids right now who are like at the like start of high school. So like ninth grade to 12th grade. One kid started with us in ninth grade and is in 12th grade now. And his max distance off the tee was like 250 carry. And now he's sitting at 310, 315 carry. And if you look at him from like a size, like overall strength perspective, yeah, he got stronger, but nothing substantial where you can say, oh, wow, like that was all work in the weight room. It was really just developing like his like central nervous system's ability to like really fire and get everything moving in unison as best it can.
So when you do a lot of your speed training, you were almost over swinging and working on swinging. If my max is, let's just say 120 miles an hour, you try to get me pushing up 125, 127. So when I come back to the golf course, I'm feeling that 120 is more controllable. So you're like working on overswinging?
More or less, yeah. Some of it's swinging. Some of it's also just like repetition, because depending on like how many swings you take in a round, like how many swings are you actually going after, like getting after it? Like some of the drives, maybe not all the drives, maybe some long iron shots, but relatively speaking, not many. So some of our training is just building up like their endurance and being able to do that like 50 swings, 70 swings, depending on, again, like what level they're at and what it is that they're looking for.
Yeah, being a baseball guy, I always grew up with the weighted bat, the donut, you almost basically swung something more that weighed a ton more to make your bat feel lighter. And I felt like in golf with the new, and I don't know about if you use the stack system or however it may be, but whichever system it is, it is weights, but you're really working on swinging over what your golf swing would be. So that's when I talk about overswinging, that's where I was hitting at. It's interesting to hear how it's changed. It's not like I'm swinging a lead pole to get my golf swing faster, where it's actually we're doing the opposite. We're swinging something faster so your body feels it, memorizes it, and then as you're getting stronger with that endurance and that repetition to be able to make that contact, if it's driver or like you said, just different irons.
Yeah.
But as a golfer that comes to you and you go through your first, what's your check system? Do you have some sort of checks and balances that you're looking at when we come in there? How do you assess them through your physical? Is it a physical condition? Is it a swing? It doesn't sound like you talk more mechanics. You talk more athleticism and more strength-wise in the swing and more, like you said, biomechanics more than just fundamentals of the swing. So how do you identify somebody that walks in? If Greg walked in off the street, what's the first thing you're going to look at? How do you assess him? Outside, he needs to be a little bit taller, hit it for a little bit farther. But what are you looking for?
Did you just make a joke?
I did. I squeezed that short joke in there.
Picked up on it though. Man, if someone like Greg came in, Geez, we'll probably tell him we give him his money back. I don't know if there's so much we can do for him. But
I like this. We need to have him on more often. Here we go.
Dr. Clay has treated me before, so he knows all my ailments.
We don't do, I'm not trying to change anybody's swing from a mechanical perspective. We leave that up to their swing coaches and people are better suited for it. But again, from a performance standpoint, I kind of cherry pick from a couple of different systems. I'll use some of the screenings from TPI. I'll use some screenings from two guys, Mike Adams and Terry Rolls. They have like their own system of screenings. Again, the guy that I mentioned before, Dr. Kwan, has some screenings that he does as well. And from there, we're just really in the beginning, depending on what level they're at, we're looking for the lowest hanging fruit. So is it a mobility issue that they're dealing with? Is it a coordination issue? Usually if you talk about like junior golfers, the biggest thing that you see there is the separation from like the upper and lower body, just because they're like sometimes so mobile or so flexible, they're not able to disconnect like their upper body and their lower body. So it's trying to figure out like, is that what we go after? Is it more a strength and coordination thing? Or is it again, like a timing thing?
Sometimes the word performance scares people off. Or do you recommend just your average Joe coming to somebody like you and getting maybe some sort of screening and some sort of tips and ideas? Or are you more looking to work with people who are already established?
No, I think performance is different for everybody. Like some people that come to us, performance for them is being able to play 18 holes without having like severe back pain. Or maybe it is like some kid looking to make like his high school team or some guy looking to win like his local like club championship. But it really just depends on what the individual is looking for. I would say, again, like our split's more 50-50. Like our guys are a little bit more older who have had injuries along the way. Like their definition of performance is they want to be able to play around like Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday. Are they looking to hit it a little bit further? Sure. But they want to be able to play 18 holes 2-3 days in a row and not be feeling it for the entire week before they try to go back out there and do it again.
Yeah, man, you sound like just a lot of different trainers. You have every different person coming in there. Obviously, everyone's goals are different, but man, right. you sound like you're somebody for every golfer. That's awesome to hear. That's what we're pushing here on Fairway Fit. We're trying to get fitness type information out to the average golfer, to the elite golfer, to the intro golfer, and just get them some sort of peace of mind to get out there on the golf course. That's really what we're doing, is just trying to promote golf. And it sounds like you're on the same page, and that's awesome to hear.
Just trying to build people up to play 36, 6 days in a row and just let it ride. There's the ultimate golf trip, 36, 6 days in a row, travel day on day seven, travel day on day zero, done, good to go.
I like to know what kind of guy's trip could work that out for 6 days in a row.
Oh, it would be stellar. It'd be stellar.
It would.
It would be expensive, but it would be extremely fun. I think maybe Jens Cup gets an extension, but you mentioned back pain. You've treated me for back pain before. And something that I always liked about coming to see you is you wouldn't just snap, crackle, pop, you're healed, go on. You'd always give me exercises to do to address my weak point or whatever is causing that back pain. But since it's so common in golfers, what kind of interventions or exercises do you usually like end up recommending to people?
For what, back
pain? Lower back pain in the golf
sport. So I wish these answers were like black and white, but they're usually pretty gray. For me, like I always start the answer with, it depends. Some guys' back pain could be due to like poor knee health, because they've just torn up the meniscus for so many years that they're not able to rotate well through there. Some of their back pain could stem from like labral issues, just because they don't rotate well in the swing and they tore up like the labrum in their hip. Some of it could just be like the discs in their back have worn out over the years, and not just because of golf, but just life in general. As far as like exercises go that we give for back pain, really, if I took 10 guys off the street and they were all golfers and let's just say they all had back pain, their programs could be completely different from like guy one to guy 10, just depending on what I see during the assessment or the evaluation. I think a lot of guys always throw out the word like core strength and core stability. But if you think about it, like how the core works in a golf swing, it's not stable. There's a lot of rotational forces that happen. There's a lot of lateral forces that happen. So it's really like, how can you make that person dynamic or a little bit more dynamic without creating like more strain on those problem areas? So sometimes that can be challenging just because everybody's different and you don't always hit a home run like on your first attempt. So it's a lot of trial and error sometimes. But I think that's what's fun about it. You want these people to be able to play golf for into their 70s, 80s, and even later if that be the case. But it's just not as simple as, oh, it's this core exercise or like this. Another word in the golf world is like this glute activation exercise. It's just very individualized, unfortunately.
Tiger made activating glutes famous, didn't he?
Yeah, it was just surprising, man. Like the dude's golf IQ is so off the charts, but he says like glute activation and you think like the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
I like it. These listeners are going to love that somebody's going at Tiger like this. But
I'm not going after him. I'm just saying, bro, if your glutes aren't active, you couldn't stand up. So if you're standing, like your glutes are active, my friend.
That is true. That is true. So are you more so of a Phil guy? Activate the calves, step on it and activate the calves.
God, if I could have 10% of those calves, I'd be probably in a different profession, my friend.
They are super nice. They are.
Yeah. They're saucy.
All right. Not to change too much topic here, guys, but a couple things about us. Obviously, you've known Greg for a long time. Greg's fitness has been a huge part of Greg's life. I, on the other hand, went a different route when I was more in an administrative role. I actually quit working out, although I was an educator, worked in the gym, did a lot of different things, played sports my whole life, played professional sports. And I've actually picked up this fitness stuff probably in about 2 years now. Hard to tell on the screen, but I've lost just over 100 pounds doing this. And obviously it started out with the fitness side of things, with running and different things and everything. But one thing I know, and I think anybody who's ever in the fitness industry or performance industry talks a lot about nutrition. And do you all do anything with the nutritional side? I know you have a large team at your facility or a small team that does a lot of different things. Do you all talk anything about nutrition? If you do, what's the go-to? Do you have any advice for us?
Yeah, we don't. It really depends on like the person. We don't get too deep into that stuff because from like a performance side of things, it's like some dudes have like breakfast and they can go out and play 18 and don't need to like subsequent with any kind of like fluids, electrolytes, protein or anything like that to play a good 18 holes. Some people need a little bit more. Again, like I'm limited to the demographic of Northern Virginia. Typically, like in the summertime, the thing that we recommend the most is like electrolytes or some kind of supplement just to replenish the salts in your body for the most part, so that you're not getting dehydrated or anything of that nature, because the humidity can like really hit people. And once those levels start bouncing, you can really affect like just your general like overall feel and sometimes like mental acuity on the golf course.
Yeah, I definitely know. I know for me, I've tried to add in protein bars, different types of snacks. I'm not really a big meal person after 9 holes, like people who get hot dogs and different things, but I do need a little bit. And it definitely is noticed a change. I walk actually most of my rounds at my course here. So I definitely notice a change on those last 6 holes that if I don't have anything, or like I came right after work trying to squeeze a round in, I need a little something that makes me feel a little bit better. So it's probably more focus than anything, than just energy, to make sure I'm still focused on making those good swings. I know that all works hand in hand with the fitness levels and energy levels, but definitely a big part, man. I know a lot of people, they intake a lot of different things in golf. Not just good stuff. Sometimes it's the bad stuff as well, too.
Swing juice, babe.
When you think about it, if it's 5% alcohol, that means it's 95% water, right?
It's true. That's true.
So, it's some good math there, Gregory.
Took math a couple times in college.
What are some injury prevention type things that you could suggest? one of our focuses is to make sure that we are playing good golf on golf trips. And yeah, golf trips aren't really 36 holes for 6 days. They're more probably five or six rounds in a 3 day format or 4 days or whatever it may be. But what are some things that as on a golf trip that I can make sure to do if it's a couple stretches here and there, how to make sure I recover properly? What are some things you suggest for some of these old guys like us that are getting out on these golf trips?
Yeah. The stretch and mobility stuff afterwards is definitely key, because even though you might not feel it like during the round or at the end of the round, especially if you're a guy like Greg that needs 3 to 8 beverages to get through a round, you might feel a little sore the next day. Again, it would be broken down on to the individual, but if you had a certain set of 3 stretches, nothing crazy that you could go through like after the round, it can certainly just save your body and kind of get you ready for the next round. Or if you're lucky enough to stay at a nice place and they got a hot tub, not a good way to end the round, or not a bad way, I should say, to end the round either. That would be like the easiest recommendation without getting into like too much detail. But if you're with,
how do you feel about cold tubs?
Yeah, I love them, man. I do it like 3-4 times a week myself. So
I'm jealous.
Are you a before workout cold tub guy, or is it an after workout cold tub? Because I've read and seen different things. Some people like to do it first thing in the morning,
yeah,
to activate everything, and some people are the opposite. They do it at the end.
I'll usually do it. I do jujitsu 4 days a week, so I'll usually do it before my classes just to help wake everything up. And then I do a good like warm up routine before, and then I'll do like sauna at the end of the day. So I usually do mine in the beginning.
Okay.
I like it. He's like Marky Mark. Marky Mark wakes up and goes into the cold tub right away.
I'm not like right away.
Yeah, isn't it like 2-3 o'clock in the morning? Doesn't he do that 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? Isn't he like one of them?
Dude plays golf every day. He lives the life of every person that is probably going to listen to this podcast.
That guy, he's made some like 18 holes in 2 hours.
He does. He's I think he's pretty good too. Yeah, he's stick.
Pretty cool. So one thing we want to do, we really do appreciate having you on. We have gone through a lot of our questions and everything, and I don't want to keep beating a dead bush on everything. I really like a lot of things you have to say. And if you ever were interested in having us in there, I know I'd be more than welcome to get some sort of performance enhancement as well to get myself ready to continue our path of me beating Greg throughout this year. But one thing we try to do with all of our guests is we'd like to play what we call the back nine here. We got 9 questions that we'd like to ask you.
Rapid fire.
And rapid fire. Not too rapid.
I was going
to say. And we want to, some of those are golf questions. Some of those are just interesting questions to learn a little bit about you.
Sure.
So if you are ready, we are ready. We're coming down the home stretch, making the turn. And the first one is pretty simple. And it's, what is your favorite golf memory you have from growing up?
I was actually caddying for my uncle and his one buddy who...
Was it at the Masters?
Nah. It was at what used to be Lowe's Island. And his one buddy had a couple of beverages. Nephew ever played before? He's like, oh, he's played a couple of times. He's like, I bet you $100 he can't birdie this hole. And I think it was, I don't know, like 165 yards or something like that. And it wasn't the best shot, but it was like one of those putts that it's like, oh my God, I can't believe the dude made it. It was like a 20 some footer and made it for my first birdie, and guy had to pay up.
Did you get any of that money?
I got 0. I got my caddy money, but I didn't get any of it.
Man.
All right. That's a pretty good one. I good little memory there.
Uncle took the money and then didn't give you any. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So favorite golf course, if you want to say golf trip that you've ever been on, but favorite golf course.
Man, I took a trip to Kiawah Island maybe like 3-4 years ago. And that was probably like one of my favorite trips, because we stayed at the, I think it's called like the Sanctuary, is the hotel that's out there. I got to play the Ocean course and then like 2 of the other courses. I think one was like Osprey or something like that. But those were probably like my favorite trip. I don't know if the Ocean course is my favorite course that I've played, but it's definitely, like, for sure, top five.
Is it as windy as everybody says?
Oh, dude, it was. I think some people get lucky, but it was pretty windy
everywhere
we played there. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You haven't said a number, so I'm not going to ask if it was a good round or not.
It wasn't bad. It was, I think I shot it was either 78 or 79.
Oh, wow. There we go.
See, he did. He'd be like, 80, not right, right home about, but 79. All right, I'll go ahead and take it.
Yeah, if it was in
the that's definitely a big difference.
No dice.
There you go.
Kind of building off that question, all right? So if you could play one course in the world, what would it be?
Oh, man. I'd want to say Augusta, but that place would just eat me alive. Maybe Pebble. That'd be nice. I'd like to play out of there.
Pebble.
Me and you can go to Augusta. I'm going to take it. I'll shoot 100, and I'll be happy shooting 100 at Augusta. That was definitely my go-to. On any question like that, I'm headed down to headed to Georgia. That's for sure. So, all right? Here's our next one. What is your go-to snack on the course?
Go-to snack, man. I'm nothing fancy, man. Like, I like a trail mix. Like Greg, I enjoy adult beverage from time to time. But yeah, I don't know. Like a trail mix, pretty vanilla.
All right, I'll take that.
I'm
a Milky Way guy.
Chocolate or Milky peanut Way. Butter in the trail mix? Like little chocolate chips.
Yeah, I like those like spicy mixes.
They're solid too. A little sweet and spicy trail mix.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
All right, so we're going to go off the wall on this one. So you won the Masters. You get to plan the champion's dinner. What's on your menu?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I'm pretty easy guy, but I would go probably like some kind of surf and turf, maybe a little like mac and cheese with some lobster in there.
Wow. Yeah. I like that.
I like an Oreo cheesecake. That's my jam.
No?
What do you get? Like an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. Is that how it goes?
Pretty sure. But tell you the truth, you can plan. If I ever get married again, you'll plan my wedding with that.
Oh, for real? I think you did pretty well with the first one there, big guy.
I outkicked my covers by a long shot.
Yeah. And then I guess like for the app, I like a spring roll, like a crispy spring roll.
There we go. That's a pretty good meal. I hope I'm there, but I'd have to win the Masters first to be invited back. All right. If you could play a round of golf with any historical figure, doesn't have to be a golfer, but any historical figure, who would it be and where are you playing?
Just one dude.
Sure. You want to add a couple, make it a foursome, all you.
Man, historical figure. Man, I know he's not a golfer, but I'd like to play with Bruce Lee. That'd be pretty cool.
Does he play golf?
I don't think so, but he could probably kick the ball further than most people could hit it. Have you ever watched like that video?
That's off the wall.
Do you ever watch that video where he's playing like the tennis or the ping pong dudes with nunchucks?
That's pretty ridiculous. I did see that video, actually.
Yeah, he could probably hit a ball further with nunchucks than most people could with an iron.
All right, Bruce Lee, but where would it be?
What's up?
Which course would you play?
Oh, what Bruce course Lee? Would it be? I don't know. Maybe him and I would play Pebble.
Nice. That would be solid.
Yeah.
All right, so... Obviously, you're an excellent golfer already, but if you could take one skill from a pro golfer today, what would it be and who would it be from?
If I could take one skill?
Yeah. If you could take basically like some people would say like Rory's driving ability, Scottie Scheffler's ball striking, putting from Tiger in 2002.
Yeah. I don't know, man. As I've gotten older, I actually like the short game practice like so much more. And even though like he's not doing so hot these days, if I could take Jordan his like first 2 years on tour and take some short game lessons from him then, not that they're probably still not good right now, but
his creativity was impressive.
Yeah, he just seems like he'd be a drag to be around these days. I would definitely take his short game lesson from him like first 2 years on tour for sure.
He'd also be really entertaining to listen to because he loves to talk to his ball the whole time as it's in the air.
Oh, yeah.
I like to talk to myself when the ball's in the air. It's usually negative as well.
And what is your go-to golf movie? That's something that's when it's on, you pretty much have to sit down and watch it.
That one's a no-brainer. That's Tin Cup.
There we go.
Two for two.
That's been the consensus before. Yeah, that's a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore is always a quick second. Get you a good laugh.
Yeah, but that's not, I guess it's a golf movie, but I feel like Tin Cup's a classic, though.
I agree. That's a good one.
I'm going to go ahead and leave the question because hopefully go two for two on the last question as well. But if you could change one rule of golf or add it into golf, what would it be?
Change one rule or add a rule?
Yeah, if you want to change a current rule or add a rule into golf, what would it be?
I mean, there's so many rules as it is, dude. I don't know. What were some people saying?
Me personally, I would say that you can take as many balls off the tee in order to hit one straight so that I don't rack up my score, but just me.
The golf ball industry would like that one. I know a lot of people talk about if you could take a ball out of a divot. I say if you hit a ball in the fairway and you're in the divot, you can remove it. Some people like to say red stake. Play everything as a red, no OB. Definitely pace of play type move. But we've heard a couple different ones throughout. No problem. You like the game how it is? You like it pure? There's nothing wrong with that. All right, so our last question,
okay,
which is a little bit off the wall. I set this one up because people are odded out by it. But this is something Greg and I debate. We've been on some couple family vacations together and some different things. And this tends to be a debate when we go, when we're purchasing our groceries.
It's also a late night debate.
Yes, it's been a late night debate. We've actually had, we've had these on our car trips quite a few times. Original cheddar cheese or white cheddar Cheez-Its? What's your choice? What's your go-to?
Oh, man, I got to go original.
Yes.
Wow. So disappointed. This is, man.
Dude, white cheddar is like just for the smart food popcorn.
There you go. You got to go OG.
The only downfall of the white cheddar is that it's on your fingers and when you wipe your jeans that it gets all over your pants. But
if you're an animal, you just lick your fingers, man.
Exactly.
Oh, is that just me that does that in my back? I didn't know I was telling my secrets out there.
I mean, do we have to even ask if you are an original goldfish person? Or are you a psycho that gets just like the pepperoni flavor blasted weird ones?
No, I didn't know there was another one.
Thought it was just good. At least you're OG on that one.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's goldfish. It's completely different. We're talking about Cheez-Its. You gotta go white cheddar Cheez-Its.
No. Straight up OG Cheez-Its. I think on the way home from the last golf trip, I might have ingested over 1,000 calories worth of Cheez-Its on that ride. But
I thought he got a box to share and it was gone before we were out of North Carolina.
Greg likes to eat his feelings.
I do. I have a problem. Luckily, I married a counselor.
Yeah, there you go. Problem solved.
Matt, Dr. Clay, we really do definitely appreciate you being on today. If anyone has any questions for him, where can they check you out or where can they follow you if they were looking to get some more information?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. My practice is Dynamic Integration Sports Medicine. You can just Google that. And same thing like on Instagram, same tag. So if they want to look me up there, it also has the link to our golf page as well.
That's awesome, man. We really appreciate it to have you. Maybe we get out and play some golf sometime and you can definitely help me out. I know fitness is something that's come back into my life. I'm always looking for some new ideas to get myself a little bit better on the golf course.
Cool. I would love to.
A few days after our interview, I got this from Greg.
Went to the range this morning. God awful. If I was smart and I had more than 2 brain cells in my body, I would just quit golf and never swing a club again. This is bad.
To find out more, check us out next time on the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast.